Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, my man Max 611's mind's like a weapon. Big brother R, off the new bumpers in R. New York, we walk the walk and we talk the talk. Got some serious sports fans who bark from the heart. Sophisticated talk for your modern day fan. Your number one resource for your fantasy draft. The illest sports show, all you cats got to know. Already we the greatest, imitators got to go. We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to shake the stage, so they hear us out of space. Where opinions are expressed with rugged intellect. Put it down to represent for the team you love the best. The Knicks, the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, the Johnnies, the Orangemen, the Huskies, the Jets. And yes, the Islanders, the Devils, and Rangers. When the East is in the house, oh my God, danger.
We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to start the combo that'll keep you up to date. Yeah, we in the paint, got the game on smash. Put the whole sports world on blast. We in the paint, getting hot, cause we turning up a notch. On the streets with the realest sports talk. We in the paint, meet the ass in the field tonight. Keep it real, nothing sweet, nothing nice. We in the paint.
In the paint, the realest show in sports. Every Tuesday night, 9 p.m.
Hello? Yeah, this is In the Paint, the realest show in sports. I'm going to bring my brother in. Chandler, can you
hear
me?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. This is the realest show in sports, In the Paint. Calling numbers 347-426-3634. I'm going to hand this mic right back over to my man, Mr. R. Jones. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to bring in the other two callers, 6409. State your name and where you're calling from.
Token white boy. And told you so, boys. I predicted this.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Hold tight, Ryan. Hold tight.
I'm a pop ball. Just
relax.
All right, hold on.
Before I mute you, chill out. Nah. And we're going to bring in our other caller, 9727. And I'm going to pass the mic back over to, that's Marshall. Let's get it going.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Yes,
I thought
indeed.
I was on the only token white guy around here. This dude's stealing my thunder.
Man, you sound a whole lot whiter, so I'll give that one to you.
Oh wow!
Wow, that's crazy.
Wait, hold on. Hold on, wait a minute. Is that white on white crime right there?
hold on. We all know that doesn't exist.
Oh yeah, really? It does.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna have to.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I don't know. I play golf for a living, so they don't give me tickets. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go.
Y'all are fools. Hey, go ahead.
It's because we're white. We get it.
No, but it's all good, man. It's all good. Let me tell you something. I really don't give a damn about color. If you cool, you cool. If you're not, I can't rock with you. That's why I'm
right.
I boil it down, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then people I deal with. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter.
White people are the craziest ones on earth.
Well, I mean, listen, man. I know some brothers and sisters that are crazy too. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, just because I share the same skin color, don't mean I'm gonna automatically get along with them. Trust me, that's
right.
Not even the case.
Right.
You understand?
Look
it is
just,
what it is.
Look at Jussie Smollett.
Mm-hmm.
Pure
mm-hmm.
idiot.
Yeah. Well, I think
mm-hmm.
said both black and white smoking crack tonight. It's all irrelevant. You crazy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Very true.
You know,
anyway,
it is
anyway,
very true indeed.
Before I take us totally off topic, go ahead.
Go ahead, R.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Mike, sure, dude.
Sorry about that. Hold on for a second, guys.
Where
were
you guys?
Talking.
All right, I'm assuming you're discussing the shit. Yeah, I mean, I can swear on here.
But just let us announce it and calm down, okay? You damn Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Let me just say this. We know what happened. You've seen the ground bacon trade of Odell Beckham from the Giants to the Cleveland Browns.
Smart
you know, sell. For yeah. I mean, my thing is this,
honestly,
man. Go ahead. Speak on.
Honestly, I'm not saying it's smart because, unfortunately, I have to be a Cowboys fan, and I'll never, ever forget many moments of my miserable fanhood. But his catch on Thanksgiving haunts me. I wake up once a week crying still. But,
good for you.
When he was like a rookie, no, first or second year, and he caught that one, like, handed over the pylon where Barry Jones is playing tic-tac-toe or Words of Friends on his phone trying to cover him. but I'm not even saying it from a standpoint of, like, not even having to see the Cowboys play him anymore. I'm saying it from a standpoint, like, I mean, Cleveland, I'm about to go call the bookie and see what their Super Bowl odds are next year, not this year. You guys got, I like, not only, let's just say it, did I not predict this? What was it, like 72 hours ago? Thank you. Second of all, you got Jabril Peppers is a freak. Not only that, you got a first and a third. I mean, you can, I don't know, and you're going to have another high draft pick, and now you just don't have to deal with, you don't have to deal with, like I said, Odell, who's going to, okay, you can give Sheli Manning one more year with him. He's still not going to be happy when a rookie comes in his prime. He would have been a cancer even more because, you know, there's a growing process, unless you're Patrick Mahomes. And that's a lot of money for to be paying a dude just to cry on the sidelines. Meanwhile, you got two high first-round picks. You got, you know, you got your safety cover. I mean, Jabril can do anything. And, I like the move by the Giants. I really do.
Okay, first off,
apparently Cleveland's on that, apparently on the no cap rule because they're signing just everybody. I mean, they might end up getting Ryan Switzer. Not Ryan Switzer, my man Corey Coleman. He's not.
May I rebut that nonsense that was just said?
No.
Okay. And let me
anyway,
start off with, I'm not a Giants fan. I hate the Giants. Okay?
Thank you.
But this nonsense about him being a cancer.
Let him talk,
Ryan.
This nonsense about him being a cancer is just that nonsense. Okay.
Okay.
So on the sidelines, people didn't like how he acted, but I'm not even going to get into that whole thing about how it's okay when white quarterbacks do it, but let some black wide receiver do the same damn thing, and they're a cancer. I'm not even going to get into that. Okay.
Not to interrupt. I rephrase. I think back to the cancer.
I didn't interrupt you. I did not interrupt you.
Hold on.
Yes, sir.
His teammates loved him. Loved him to a man. You can't say that about some of the other wide receivers that have been traded recently. Can't say that. There was no division in his locker room concerning him. Can't say that about other wide receivers that have been traded recently. Jabril Peppers is a physical freak, but I watched the Cleveland Browns games because, unfortunately, up here in Rochester, New York, they show more Cleveland games than they do New York games. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is going on with that. Okay?
Exactly.
And Jabril Peppers, for all of his athletic ability, he ain't a great safety. He's a physical freak, but he ain't that damn good. Okay? He's just not. Yes, you got a first and a third. But what are you going to do with the first and the third? Were you going to trade for Josh Rosen? Who are you going to throw to? Because now you're going to have 8 to 9 in a box. The receivers the Giants have left are terrible receivers. Sterling Shepard drops everything that comes to him. Evan Ingram can't stay healthy. So this next quarterback, or if you keep Eli Manning, who still can't throw more than 5 yards, who are they throwing to? You have a stud running back in Saquon Barkley, who you now have limited his ability to do anything because Dave Gettleman and Steve Smith said this 4 years ago, Dave Gettleman will get rid of any personality on the team and dismantle the team. This is not a good trade for the New York Giants. It's not. And the fact that by the way, there's a $16 million cap hit. If you were going to trade Odell Beckham, you should not have given him the extension, and now you have $16 million in dead money on your cap. $16 million. We just killed the Pittsburgh Steelers by having $21 million of dead cap money. So I'm not giving the Giants a pass on this. This is a ridiculous trade. It is a Dave Gettleman special, and the Giants are far worse off today and next year because of what Gettleman just did.
Can I chime back in?
Mm.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to start it with my bad calling you a Giants fan. I didn't want to disrespect. I'm assuming you're a Jets fan then?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's good because they're signing. They got like 100 mil. They're signing everyone. That, we'll get to that later. They're making moves, man. I disagree because if you're going to compare it to the Antonio situation, so you can't tell me. I take back the word cancer. Okay, that's related to like T.O., Hall of Fame, one of the greats. But yes, that's what he was to a team. But we can't rip into the Steelers for doing what they did because they ate that money on purpose to get rid of someone that didn't want to be there. And you can't tell me the Giants are going to suck next year anyways. This is a build. They're not going to trade for Josh Rosen. They're going to trade up. Maybe they take. They don't have to trade up anymore. But like maybe they take. Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock, someone like that. But do you really think they would eat that? It doesn't matter. Supposedly, unless I don't know if you've been in that locker room, the players will say they loved it, whatever. But you don't eat that money if. You think he wasn't happy. He's been tweeting like little winky faces when people say there's a trade coming. Like, do you really think, back to my point with Sheli Manning, do you think he would have been anything but, yeah, he plays hard and he cries, but you don't eat the $15 million and get rid of that type of player. I think they got a good haul for him, but you don't do that unless, he would not have been happy there. He is going to Cleveland, so we'll see what his character is really like because it's still Cleveland. But I think you got two good first-round picks. You got, yes, Jabril, and it works in the other way. Jabril's coming from Cleveland, so he might just shine. It's like the dude who got traded to the Giants from Cleveland on his birthday. Like, you can put him, like, when Michigan, my Wolverines use him at the Mike linebacker. He's huge. He's a freak. Maybe they'll move him back to corner or nickel corner, whatever. But I think it's smart because it's a team clearly rebuilding. Like, you can't keep him have him unhappy when you can get, a two-year-ago first-round pick safety, a first-round pick, a high one, and a third-round pick. When what are you going to do? Keep him unhappy, which you – when they're not going to be any better next year. Like, just keeping him is not going to make – the next several years would not have returned the value that if – now, what they draft, who knows? They might pull a Tampa Bay and draft a kicker in the first round. But I think it can be looked at a very good way. Now, as far as getting rid of Antonio for a third and a fifth, well, holy – that is kind of like a – that's a Rooney move. Fun fact, the Rooney family owns a house right around the street, but that's them saying, get the go away, we don't want you, but you got such high picks, like, it's valuable picks.
Okay.
So what they do with the draft, yes, we'll see, but, you can get there's going to be a high ranked pass rusher up there, whether it's, Oliver and Bosa may be gone, but one of them could be there, depending on if they take Kyler Murray first. But then you still got Rashawn Gary in there. You still got you still have a dude from Clemson in there, or two of them. So there's safeness, but they might do the giant thing. But go ahead, I'll let someone know. I wanted to take back the word, cancer. That was a poor choice of words.
Okay.
But Right. If they got a good haul for something that in a rebuilding stage.
We're gonna see. Can I interject for a second, if you don't mind? I see your hand up, Cole. I'm gonna bring you in right after I finish my quick statement, which is simply this: Dave Gettleman is an asshole. He's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say this is because look, you have this off season, you have gotten rid of two premier players on this organization. Not one, two. You understand? Oh, well, the guy, the call hung up. Oh, well. I was going to bring him in. But you've gotten rid of what's that guy's name? Landon. You understand?
Let him walk.
Let him walk. Into free agency.
Coleman.
He signed. Yeah, hold on. Stop. Stop it. Landon Collins. And let him walk. You know, for nothing, when you could have traded him. And he's playing in your division with the Washington Redskins. And now you trade Odell Beckham. I wish you had traded him to Dallas, to be honest. Another one in your division, you know. But this guy, he is just – he's bad, bro, people. He is bad for this organization. I don't even know why they brought this guy here in the first place. Because he's shown that he's incapable of running this franchise. You know, he wants to reinvent the wheel. I'm positive. He wants to reinvent the wheel. I'm positive. You understand? Please explain to me how you get rid of two premier players.
I'm simply saying, like when I said the Mets, like that GM will either be working at Burger King or he might be, my opinion is he might go down as one of the next brilliant minds in some of the things he's doing. I'm not
like
gonna, I don't want to call it to get
like
him
like
a brilliant
what
mind.
What has he done?
No. Well, they haven't played the season yet, but as far as I'm not
okay,
but
you don't want to say that brilliant things he's done. He hasn't done anything.
You really don't like Gettleman, man.
I don't because when you say something what do you say when you say something like you say the brilliant things he's done? You act like he has a track record. That's what I said. What has he done?
Let the players take the field, but I think the haul they got for Cano, not even get off topic. We'll come back to it later. I'll blow your inbox up real bad. All types of pictures you're not expecting. But so aside from the man bringing in Corey Coleman, who's a genius. Like I don't know how long he's been there, but like the man. You know, you might be eating your words here in a few years when they just get an absolute, you know, everyone is absolutely, I think
I'm
what
not,
Oakland's doing
I'm
is,
I'm not,
everyone
I'm not
hates
Bruce,
John Gruden, they're like mid-season, he's a bum, oh my God, they gave him some of the team owner 10 years, well, he trades Khalil Mack and they want to, they want to,
that was dumb,
drown him, but
right,
now
that was
what's going on over.
It was, and let me just say this, I'm not going to believe my words. Because by the time the Giants turn this franchise around, I guarantee you Dave Gettleman won't be the GM.
Mm-hmm.
You like to guarantee things.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, let me bring another caller in, brother. Hold on a second. 9972, welcome to In the Paint. Thank you for your patience. Just introduce yourself. Where are you calling from?
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Richard Bush calling from Do or Die Bitch Type, Brooklyn, New York. How's everybody?
What's up, man? How you
doing? Hello, Mr. Bush.
I'm sad that I won't have any more jokes about Miss Odessa.
Well, you still can. This is just via Cleveland. That's all. You still can.
You know, thank you, sir. There are two sides to this coin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I don't like the reference of him being a cancer because the team loved him.
Right.
I did listen though, but still, I just don't like any human being termed as a cancer.
Hmm.
Cancer is a sickness. I don't think Mr. Dessa was sick. He has missed.
Personally, right?
Well, for Giant fans, yeah, it is kind of personal. Excuse me, one second, please.
Back.
Can I finish my statement, please?
Hold on, Ryan. Take it easy.
I know you. I've listened, and I know you're rather passionate. But there are several individuals here who are as passionate also.
You don't know what's passionate, though.
Unbelievable.
Come on, dude, give me a break.
Hold on.
I'm simply saying, you're getting on me for saying a word.
I'm simply saying, let me finish my statement, please.
I literally tried to take the word back, and then I did when I could talk, and I said it was wrong choice of words. Then you tell me I'm passionate simply because
you keep interrupting me.
I'm simply telling you, don't put words in my mouth. That I literally took back and apologized, saying it's the wrong word.
I didn't put words in my mouth. That word came out of your mouth.
Okay.
And I took it back, ate it.
Hold on. Time out. Let me interject here for a second again, guys. How about this? Let's start from the beginning. I'm going to let Mr. Bush get his thoughts out. Ryan, you're just going to chill and let him get his thoughts out, and then we're going to respond in kind. How does that sound? That sounds like a fair deal to me. How about that?
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm just saying that there's two sides to this coin. As a Giant fan, I am sad to see him go because he was one of the four bright spots on the team that we could talk about when he played. He did miss 21 games within the last, 3 years, I suppose? 21? 22? Whatever the number is.
God.
He missed a plethora of games within the past 3 years. He had his Pro Bowl selection. He did have his 1,000, almost 1,100 yards, 1,100 yards receiving.
Mm-hmm.
He did give us some funny commercials. He gave us I'm going to say gay tub shots. No, cool. But when you get two picks and a potential safety who can grow, clearly the team is moving in another direction. This is becoming, I like your reference about Sheila Manning, though, but this is clearly becoming Saquon Barkley's team. Sterling
like
Shepard.
I'm sorry, I apologize. Agreed.
Sterling Shepard can grow. The other tight end, Ingram, once he begins to stay healthy, we'll just have to wait and see.
He can be a freak. He's a freak.
Well, okay. Let me get it in before Ryan steals all the thunder and before Mr. Bush kills me. and we have the two grumpy men, Chandler and Awe, in the background. But nah, it's a bad move. It's a bad move. Mm-hmm. Like Chandler said, now you focus on Saquon Barkley, and other receivers have to step up. And they were only as good as Odell was when he was on the field, because you have to prepare for Odell and you have to prepare for Saquon. That would have been a perfect marriage, but
exactly.
Gettleman is asleep at the wheel. He's an idiot, and he better fix the O line next. And he better get an outside pass rusher. They need a cornerback. It's still some holes on the Giants, and he's not gonna fill them in the next year. Bad move. You don't give away talent like Odell. Yes, he can be a
bit
of a diva.
You can't give away.
Why not?
You don't
know what you're gonna pick. Those that first round pick and that third round pick, they might be bums.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can't be factored in. Like, what my man? Sorry, I didn't catch your name. I was steaming a few, and I apologize. I didn't mean to disrespect you anyway. We're now best friends because you're on my side, especially too. But you can't. Your hate for Dave Gettleman is clouding the fact that. Well, yeah, of course anyone can be a bum when you draft them. No one knows that. But the fact that they weren't only as. Even when he was on the field, they were still garbage. And I loved his point when he said,
but that wasn't his
Saquon,
fault.
But it wasn't going to change anytime soon. If you can get, like he said, a player like Jabril Peppers, who has he could grow to be the Punisher if he wants on the next Netflix. is literally, and you need so much, and you can get a first and a third, and you'll it'll never get better than that, because we see what players are going, and you know, those are two franchise, potential franchise whopping picks. You got two first round picks. You got, and it is Saquon's team that is. That's my favorite point about it. It is you build around him. You think Odell, like, yeah, the other receivers got like Ingram is a freak when he stays healthy. But like you got to rebuild. Is that a like okay? They didn't move on from Eli yet. Sheila, my bad. But at a point, you have to start rebuilding a team that, and when you need so much, and you can cover that safety position wherever they put them, get a first and a third who could potentially be starters immediately, you're filling a bunch of holes. Yes, it sucks to see him go if you're a Giants fan, but you got to look at more than just the short term. Like,
you know what? Hold on a second, brother. Hold on. I got to stop you for a minute. I gotta stop you, because right now you sounding crazy, my dude. And I love you, and I love your support, but you're sounding crazy, my dude. You're sounding crazy. I can't take it anymore. I gotta interject. My thing is this, dude. I might have seen your point a little bit, a percentage or two. I'm not gonna lie to you. I might have seen your point a little bit had they had gotten a return on Landon Collins. You understand? I'm just saying, I might have gave you that. You understand? I might have gave Gettleman a slight pass, and I might have understood where you were coming from. Hey, listen, man, it's a word, but it's true. It's a fact. That's just what it is, man.
Player in the fall. It's about
are you serious? So you're going to let somebody go that you can get value in return for it, let them go without getting anything back? Seriously? Is this what we're advocating?
That's not Odell's trade, though.
What's that again?
Remember, it's all part of the same thing, because Gettleman, first of all, doesn't have a good track record of drafting. This is the guy who drafted Kelvin Benjamin. Let's forget. This is the guy who got rid of Steve Smith 4 years early. Lest we forget. Okay? This is that Gabe Gettleman. This is that same Gabe Gettleman. Because they weren't good. Not because it was going to benefit the team, but because they had big personalities. I said this the day Gettleman was hired. That every big personality, and they can go to the archives and pull it up, that every big personality on the Giants would be traded or released. And every big personality on the Giants has been removed. Now, let's look at Jabril Peppers, because like I said, I see way too many damn Cleveland Browns games up here in Rochester. Jabril Peppers might be physically gifted. He has no position. He's not a good safety. Okay? He's not. He's not a good safety. His instincts are poor. In college, it worked. In the NFL, it doesn't. His instincts are poor for that position. He really has no position. He can't play linebacker in the NFL. He can't. They put him everywhere they could in Cleveland to try to get something out of him. That's why they got rid of him. Okay,
right.
Because they couldn't – listen, if Greg Williams can't find a use for you, well, I may hate Greg Williams as a person. That man is a damn fine defensive coordinator. And Greg Williams could not find a way to use Jabril Peppers. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, that first to third, okay, regardless of whether you have Eli or whatever quarterback you get, who are they throwing to? Dave Gettleman is also the guy who signed Nate Solder to that huge contract. Nate Solder's a turnstile. He's a turnstile. Dave Gettleman is also the guy who could never build an offensive line in Carolina. So, again, and I'm going to go back to this one more time. You could have traded Odell last year in a great offensive draft and offensive pieces in a league that is going fully offensive, but instead you wait – draft with all the offensive pieces. It's mainly defensive, and then you trade him. And when, by the way, that $16 million dead cap thing, that keeps you from adding pieces through free agency.
Okay, can I chime back in?
can you give somebody else a chance to talk to you, brother?
Yeah, after this,
can't get a word in.
Last point here is simply that what I said about you, I guess we talked with Dave Gettleman. Like, it sounds like you, if when they go draft, like the war room, if he was locked in your basement, you'd prefer that, and they just went with everyone else's input. But which maybe makes sense. What he did, I mean, they didn't have any cap space really to sign anyone anyway, for the most part. But my point, I'm not talking about who he let go and what he got back besides the stud Corey Coleman. I'm talking about what they got for this haul right here. You know, who they draft, I mean, I really think they're going to take Dwayne Haskins. They got another first-round pick. They got two first-round picks total, but you got to look at I can't even believe I'm referencing the Cowboys. Look at the Cowboys' young defense, and it's like when the defense is coming back in the league. Peppers, you can't call him a bad safety yet simply because he's still so young. Maybe so if – and, yes, he had a good defensive coach in Cleveland, but he didn't play safety at Michigan full-time. He played everywhere, but give the kid a little time. But I'm just talking about not what he, you know, has done with the other players on the team. I'm saying you got back first, you got another first, you got a third, and you got probably a starter in Jabril, whatever they do with him. And you're filling a bunch of holes. I mean, it's obviously this is rebuild time, and it's going to be Saquon's team, and, you know, that's – but go ahead, dude. Go ahead. You can have your turn.
I appreciate that. So I'm gonna ask a question here to say, well, how does this fit for Cleveland? Because I don't think this is a good move either. Because again, the Giants have addressed issues, and Chandler brought them up. Who are you gonna throw to, and how are you gonna guard? How are you gonna protect Eli Manning? Because Nate Solder is a New York Transit turnstile. He will let anybody through.
Right.
So, but how does this fit for Cleveland? Because in their division, Baltimore is, well, I mean, they are the division champions. Pittsburgh is, well, not as good as they once were, but they still have a chance to win the division. Cincinnati's exactly not exactly horrible. So does this give aspirations for Cleveland to make the playoffs? I mean –
Yes.
I'm wondering about
that. Yes. They have 10 picks.
Cleveland
they
right
also,
now on paper has the best offense in that division. The Ravens just lost all of their defense. If Cleveland don't make the playoffs, something's wrong. Something's very wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Work.
Can I ask? They just jumped to the Super Bowl. I just jumped 25-1, which is high.
Look who the Browns had: Baker Mayfield, Kareem Hunt, Jarvis Landry,
Nick Chubb,
Duke Johnson, and Nick Chubb. They still got Myles Garrett on defense. They got offensively and defensively. They have a lot of talent. Some of it needs to mature, and bringing in Odell just adds to making Baker Mayfield a better quarterback.
Right.
Isn't the Cleveland's receiver coach a former Giants receiver coach?
Yeah, he's Jarvis and Jarvis and Odell's college coach as well. Their wide receiver. He was their wide receiver coach as well.
Wow. We're talking Shelvin Richardson on that D-line too. Myles Garrett on that D-line. I can't think of either linebackers. They're loaded.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they are.
Yeah. I'm rooting for Cleveland. I'm rooting for them to. You know, I got some friends that are from Cleveland and live in Cleveland, so I'm rooting for them to do well.
Right. I hear you.
Top to bottom, there might not be a better younger roster, without a doubt.
I don't think so. I don't think there's a better one. And with the way that the Browns just dismantled their defense, and Lamar Jackson, come on. I mean, I expect him to be good, but I don't think this coming season he's going to be what he's going to be, say, in year 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how Cleveland doesn't win that division, man. I mean, obviously, I didn't want to let him go.
You got Garrett, you got Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson, and what is it, Agunja Bablaba, whatever, Agunjubi or something. That's the D line there. They've got, I mean, their front seven's unreal, and then they have 10 more picks. So that, and then you add Odell. Like, I don't know how the dude could break. He could cut a leg off and still benefit them. Like, you can't. It can't hurt them in any way.
Talk about upstarts.
Yeah, John Dorsey did his thing. John Dorsey did his damn thing.
And then you can also look at Baltimore, what they lost. C.J. Mosley to the Jets. Terrell Suggs is gone. Eric Weddle's gone. You know, like, Pittsburgh lost Antonio. They were going to lose Bell, who I think is going to end up being a Jet, because everyone's going to the Jets. The Bengals are just the Bengals, and they've got a redheaded quarterback that's 38. And AJ Green can't stay healthy. So in a division – they're going to win that division for the next 5 years because every star in that division left their team. I mean, and Cleveland has a whole roster of really, really good ones. They'll do a Cleveland move, and 9 out of the 10 picks will be bust, but all they need is that one, and they're good.
I think that they're going to definitely be a force, you know, starting next year. So – like I said, let's see.
We'll see.
And I'm still not a watcher of football.
Absolutely not. The only thing against them is that literally the NFL can't let them go to the Super Bowl for a couple of years because of the ratings. People just won't watch it. It's Cleveland.
They'll be watched now.
Yeah, right.
Cleveland will be watched now. If you sign one of the biggest stars in the league, you'll be watched. Cleveland will be watched more next year.
Yeah, they'll be on TV a lot more games where they'll be the featured national coverage or on prime time. So
yes,
don't they have Joe Hayden too, right? And McCourty.
No. The McCourties are both in New England, I think, still. Joe Hayden was in Pittsburgh last year.
Yes, that's correct. But aren't they favorites to sign? Did Bradley Roby sign anywhere today?
Yeah, he signed.
I'm assuming not with Cleveland.
I don't know where he signed at, honestly. I know he signed with somebody today. I don't remember where he signed at.
Right.
Denzel Ward?
Denzel Ward.
Honestly, it's how little they're on TV. I'm just trying to think, like, Denzel Ward, I think's there. They got Ray Ray Armstrong. But... that's last. We haven't heard his name in a minute. Rashad? I don't know. Now I'm trying to.
Marshall, you might want to turn in that Cowboys jersey for a Browns jersey.
Yeah, right?
Sir, I mean, with all due respect, sir, I don't think I can do that.
I know, Marshall.
Oh, you can't.
I have been since I was 8 years old.
Can't do it, huh?
It sucks, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing fun about it. It's absolutely miserable.
Well,
Cleveland's doing big things. Everyone's finding people. We got people. Dallas got people quitting the league because they don't want to smoke any more weed. Like.
Yeah, David Irvin. I mean, go figure on that one. But, I mean.
Exactly. About to say that. Well, I got to close out this segment because we got to keep it moving. And with that being said, gentlemen, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to go into the lane of the NBA, a huge story here involving Oklahoma City Thunder point guard Supreme, Russell Westbrook, threatening a fan, allegedly. But what we didn't know about the fan came out, didn't it, Mac?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
I'm not mad at dude. I am not. People want to call him names and stuff like that and hate on him. But guess what? If I'm Russell, listen, I'm me. I'm Roddy Jones. You understand? And if I'm a professional basketball player and somebody's going to come at me with some disrespectful comments, you understand?
Time out. I got to report this. Earl Thomas in discussions with Cleveland. Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
Okay.
Dead serious. Adam Silverman just said it.
Okay. Well,
wow.
I mean, that's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Earl wanted too much money.
Hmm.
So that's why he had to.
Every player on that roster is making the league minimum, but they got money too. I was going to interrupt the NBA before I fell asleep and report that.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. No problem. Don't worry about it. Thanks a lot. No, I'm getting back to Russell. Yeah, but I thank you for that update. I appreciate that. Trust me, I really do. If I'm on the court in the same situation, I'm doing the same exact thing. I don't care. You're not going to tell me to get on my knees where I belong, whatever you said, that stupid-ass fan. You understand? No, we're not doing that. I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to hit you with the words just as hard as he did. You understand? So I'm not mad at him. He's a man first and foremost. You understand? You're not going to disrespect no real man like that. So, yeah, he's going to get back at you. First of all, you know Russell is – come on. Y'all already know.
Half crazy.
You know? He half crazy, but you know what? That's what, let me say something. And you might not agree, but I want a guy with his type of passion. You understand? Because
right.
He is like his motor is at 100% all the time from what I've seen. You know what I mean? And I can respect that. You know? Shot selection, okay, yeah. Still shaky. but I'm saying his motor is on 100 all the time. I need a guy like that. You understand what I'm saying? So, you're not going to come at no alpha male. Yeah, I said alpha. You're not going to come at no alpha male like that. No. Exactly. And expect him just to lay down or what? No. He's going to fire back at you. And guess what? I'm not even mad at that because I would do the same thing. You know? Because this fan is a racist piece of shit. And it's his dumbass wife or girlfriend, whatever she is. You know? They're
like
both horrible people. They're both horrible people. They're both racist. You know what I'm saying? So, whatever. You know? So, props to Russ. I don't care. It may be an unpopular opinion, but I don't give a fuck. Fuck those two people. You know what I'm saying? And this, I heard they got banned from any more games. Good. You know? And Russ got a $25,000 fine. Yeah, I hear that. That's what's going to happen, of course. You know,
that's
for making
up
a threat. You know what I mean? But, fuck that.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Here's my thing. Dude went and got interviewed, and he was like, "No, I didn't say that. You know, I was told I was saying something else, and
mm-hmm.
I did this,
and then got caught."
Then today he scrambles to try to erase all the racist, homophobic
mm-hmm.
crap on his Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a punk. You're
mm-hmm.
a punk. And I'm not, like you said, I'm not mad at Russell for saying what he said
mm-hmm.
because the players are not animals. I think 2 weeks ago, a kid touched Russell and he berated the kid's father and tell him,
mm-hmm.
teach your kid some manners. And the players are not animals. You can't just say whatever you feel to them and think it's all good. And the LA came, I don't be fooled by the tight shirts and the capri pants that Russell Westbrook wears. He's from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say whatever you want and not expect somebody to come at you. I understand what the NBA did in fining him. That's protocol,
mm-hmm.
their business. But I'm glad homie can never go to another Utah Jazz game again in life.
Or
him and his wife or whoever that was.
Can I ask some questions? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, so this guy this guy basically, I'm not going to quote, I don't think I saw what he said, but I'm gathering that it was very offensive. Then he tried to backtrack and tried to delete it, saying that he wasn't this, and got caught. So, okay, so if that's the case, which you've proven it is, fuck this guy, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, I know Russell Brook is, let's just be honest, he's probably, he can be an ass, okay? And we all probably know that.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, however, I'm with you all. I can't blame him for saying what he said in his own self-defense with dealing with this fucking knucklehead.
Yeah.
And it's lucky this guy, right, and then lucky this fan who got banned didn't get pulled into a dark alley and got his ass whooped, or worse.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but some of these fans, they need to have their mentalities checked at the door. Like the kid with his dad. I mean, the kid acted like he was at the zoo. Like he was at the zoo. Oh, daddy, can I touch him? Is he real?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is that?
Right.
Well, that's the lady in Arizona that at the jaguar cage. And see.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Some of these fans need to be checked at the door. You know, they have to have some sort of brainwave machine and put them on a helmet so they Or built from plexiglass like they do in the hockey arenas. Because these fans, some of these fans are just out of control.
The problem with Utah is, I don't even know if y'all remember, Mark Jackson got traded to the Jazz years ago. And he refused to go. He said, what is a black man going to do in Utah? He said, I'm not going to no damn Utah. And so they literally, the Jazz then traded him somewhere else without him ever suiting up for them because he refused to report. That arena, this is not new for that particular arena. This has been going on for decades. And, you know, and I told you, I don't have any use for Adam Silver because I think he's full of crap. And this is just another example because there's been multiple incidents at that arena just this year between players and fans. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
At what point do the players get protected? Because you want to find Russell and say, oh, he was threatening language towards a fan. If he had put his hands on that dude, oh, that's trouble, you can't do that. The players deserve to be protected. And the easiest thing to look at, and we talked about, I think, yesterday, was the fan that ran on the pitch in England and punched the soccer player. We're not that far away from that happening in an NBA game. You understand what I'm saying? Because people feel so entitled now because of Twitter and social media to themselves in ways that they never would have before. You know, it's a whole lot of people that feel real comfortable saying and doing things now because of social media, and they forget, dude, this is real life. You're not behind a keyboard. Somebody can reach out and punch you now. But listen, if the NBA doesn't do something, I guarantee that there's going to wind up being another Malice in the Palace, man. The NBA's got to do a damn sight better job. Because when Russell was going back and forth with that fan, where was security?
Security was there watching.
Exactly. They're standing there watching. When they should have gotten in between Russell and that fan, moved Russell away, and then dealt with the fan. Instead, they stood there and let it happen.
Right. Excellent point, because I was going to bring that up too, Chandler. Excellent point. You know, they, you know, the NBA has to take the lead in that. You understand what I'm saying? They can't just sit back on the ass and watch shit happen. You understand? You have to have a plan for that. They have to be proactive in protecting the players of the NBA. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, you have security and they're not going to do their damn job, then you need to find some other security. Because that's what they're supposed to be doing, preventing this shit from happening.
Right. Yeah, right.
But you know what? It's okay for an owner to ban a fan for telling the other team. Well, that's okay. But don't you stand up for yourself, player. Don't you stand up for yourself, that racist fan.
That's a different situation. The fan get at the owner. Because, see, that could have been defused.
The fan didn't threaten him, though. The fan didn't say anything
exactly.
degrading. He just said sell the team.
If Dolan was smart, if he was real smart, he should have just kept it moving, and it would have faded away.
But
that's
not
what I'm saying,
smart.
Though. Right, and this is just a bad look for NBA all the way around in the past 48 hours. It's just a bad look. Adam Silver needs to be
– Agreed.
And every time this stuff happens, you don't hear a peep from Adam Silver. Has he made a statement yet?
You keep muting. That's disrespect.
No, it's just because you have some – I don't know. You on a Bluetooth, Ryan?
Some smart thing in the crib. Why? Is it just telling is my house telling me that I need to shut the hell up?
No, your phone is giving a lot of feedback.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I hear it. You know?
Listen.
It's not that you know, it's not you, it's your phone. Mm. You know, upgrade.
Oh boy.
I had to, Ryan. It's all done in love.
Listen, mm-hmm. I'm going to mute myself right now.
Uh-oh. No. Stay Uh-oh. On, brother. But, yeah.
You don't have to listen. You don't need to mute me during NBA talk. That's when anyone listening just goes away and we fall asleep.
Whatever. Whatever, golf man. But,
Oh, boy. Uh-huh.
Listen, like you guys said, the NBA – is lax. They and we had a fight between two players. We got an owner throwing out a fan for no reason, except for he said sell the team, which is his trigger word. And you got another fan saying being disrespectful to a player, and then just NBA needs to pick up on that. They need to protect the players. I think.
Who's talking right now? My bad.
It's Mac. Mm-hmm. And then Rudy Gobert said Russell got verbally attacked in Denver recently this year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What?
Who was
I'm just curious. Like, I'm so bad with the voices and names. Who was mm-hmm. that was running their mouth, by the way? State your name.
Me. ENY611, Mac611, the Dream Shatterer.
I just want to know whose inbox to blow up. But you continue.
You know, there's been seems to be seeing the open season on the players, because once again we got this moron Barkley, and I said this on Twitter that, you know, I'm sick of Charles Barkley. The NBA cannot continue to allow this man to represent it. Listen, no. You don't have to like Kyrie Irving. I don't care if either one of those guys on the basketball side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't think they can play in New York simply because I don't think they're good fits for New York. But Charles Barkley needs to shut the hell up when it comes to people's mental health. Okay? He needs to just shut the hell up. Okay? Listen, you don't have no right to talk about anybody. Somebody's mentally weak. Who the hell are you? And the fact that TNT is an NBA partner. So when he is talking, in many ways, he's representing the NBA. It's hard enough for some of these guys to deal. Listen, you can like or not like the fact that people are more open about their mental health issues. I particularly don't give a fuck if you don't like it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, I don't care. Because people need to be honest and open about what they're going through so that they can get help. But Charles Barkley, they need to remove him from TNT, and he needs to not be allowed to represent the NBA when it comes to talking about these players and their mental health issues. This shit has got to stop at some point. Adam Silver needs to do his job.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you a question, Chandler. So you don't think that he should have made the comments on Kyrie and Kevin Durant, obviously, right? Not the way he said it, no. If you want to say you don't think they're good fits in New York, I don't have a problem with that. But to call somebody mentally weak, I got a problem with that.
How about Chuck? Chuck was mentally weak when he couldn't play in Philly when the team was just him. He was the best player on the team. He couldn't lead that team nowhere. You know, he forgets his past a lot when he talks.
I wish I was on
the air with him. What was that, Richard?
I said he calmly eliminates his past. He couldn't lead Philly. He couldn't lead Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
He
messed up Houston.
Oh.
Well, the thing is, why would these two guys put out what they don't like about the press? They said it. And trust me, I'm not defending it. I'm not a fan of Charles Barkley. I'm not defending him either in no way, shape, or form. However, if you said that, if you put that out there for public consumption, why wouldn't somebody like a piece of shit like Charles Barkley or any other piece of shit pick up on it and vibe with it?
There was that symposium at the All-Star game where they were talking about how players, especially in the social media age, and listen, it is different for these young men than it was for us. It is different. It is a different environment. We really weren't allowed to even talk about the fact that we had feelings and issues and things like that. We are.
Right.
Okay? And just because you have money doesn't mean you're going to be happy, because money don't make nobody happy. All money does is make you more of what you are. So if you are unhappy, if you are not well adjusted, it makes you more unhappy and more poorly adjusted. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It just makes you more of what you are. And then we're talking about the fact that these players have a lot of issues that they're dealing with. And he comes up, they got $20, $30 million. They ain't got no reason to be unhappy. First of all, step the hell up, okay?
Yeah, right.
He was again, if he just wants to talk about the fact that they can't thrive in New York, if they don't like the media, I don't have a problem with that statement at all. But that's not where he was going. Where he was going was talking about them being mentally weak and mental health issues, and they whining and they wiggling and just that, and say, you can just suck it up. Basically, all he said, you just need to man up. That is the worst damn thing he could ever tell anybody. Okay,
he didn't man up. He never manned up. Mm-hmm. Never.
Okay.
Never in his career did he man up. Also, I follow Charles Smith, who used to play for the Knicks. He said today, he had an issue where, things wasn't going right. He said he woke up throwing up and went to sleep in his vomit because he was so, depressed or whatever. And he managed to get through his mental issues that he had. So, yes, Charles Barkley needs to shut up. Shut up, dude. You were a clown. You're still a clown.
That man brings ratings, though. That man, I know people that literally don't even watch
but
the
NBA. But he brings
NBA.
Your
they
brand down also.
If he was doing anything but making the league money, he wouldn't be there. Not saying personally, he doesn't bring. If he did anything but bring entertainment to the most, they wouldn't employ him. I know people that literally love the NBA, but they don't watch the games, but they watch him and Shaq and whatever the show after, just tune in for that every time.
I usually turn from him. I can take everybody else.
Right,
I can't ride with him. Go ahead, Chandler.
Brian, you're absolutely right. But my point is, that's exactly what's wrong. Because, again, if the NBA is truly, because he actually, I can only go on what you say. Adam Silver became commissioner and spoke to him. He wants to help the players. And he wants to do things to the players and all this other BS, which I called BS at the time, by the way. If you are going to say that, then you have to actually do it. You can't have your public relations firm, which is TNT, ESPN, NBA TV, that's literally the NBA public relations firm, attacking players. You can't have it. I don't care what ratings it gives you. You can't have it. Because at some point, What happens to one of these players because Charles Barkley keeps downing these stars and he's not a star and he's having some issues and he don't want to come forward with it and he blows his brains out? What are we going to say then?
Yeah.
Are the ratings worth that? Are the ratings worth somebody's life?
Sorry, I'm looking for pictures. I'm blowing up my man's inbox right now. Hold on.
Yeah, this guy.
He ain't blowing up nothing.
No, he's trying to be slick. And I'm like, I just had to drop something on him. Like, I said, dude, I'm not even a fan of that team, so it doesn't matter to me. So post away what you will. I'm just like, okay, whatever. It's not bothering me. You just wasting your own time.
Hold on, don't worry. Keep getting better.
Okay, whatever.
But yeah, I want to piggyback a little bit. I mean, move forward a little bit.
Okay.
What the Golden State Warriors? Not just the Steve Kerr incident with Draymond Green, but the fact that they're selling out their fan base. That arena, which is going to be, they're going to have wine cellars in a damn arena. They're going to have butlers bringing stuff to the suites. The suites are going to cost upwards of like $2 million.
Yeah, I heard about
that. To have a, right. And the prices are skyrocketing. They said that they're not even trying to help. They're moving from being a regular, you know, the regular everyman being able to buy tickets to they're moving towards corporate people buying tickets. Mm. And we know what happens when that happens.
Right.
Their prices are going to go up 10%. And just that whole new arena is going to be, I guess, smack dab in the middle of the city of San Francisco. And they're forgetting what their identity was as the Golden State Warriors. Never the they were the Oakland Warriors for a time, and then they became the Golden State Warriors. They didn't want to put that label on them anymore. Because
can I say something real quick, Mac?
Go ahead, brother.
I'm sorry. And then moving the arena to San Francisco, it's going to be a pain in the ass because where the old arena sat, with the Coliseum was right on the BART line, and it was easy access for the people to get there because I've been there. When you get into the city, because I could have went to more A's games when I was out there instead of Giants games. It was a pain in the ass to get to the Candlestick Park because the BART didn't go out there.
Right.
And if their stadium's not on public transportation. Then again, they're moving to corporate, and that is just I'm just trying to figure out their stupidity on this move because I just can't see it.
Money.
Yeah, I know it's all money. I know.
Yeah. Money. Yeah. Money. Mm-hmm. Money. Money. Yeah. Money. Money. That's like Atlanta Braves. Why they moved? They built a new stadium in Cobb County. Not because you got baseball fans in Cobb County. That's one of the richest counties in Georgia.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, the suites are going to cost $2.5 million a year. The new arena will include wine cellars and private butlers for the filthy rich that believe that these amenities are necessary to watch a basketball game at the new Chase Center.
Damn.
That's
insane.
Yeah.
Private butlers. Just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, and by the way, you know that they get the first 3 years tax free, right? They get all kinds of tax breaks. So that first 3 years in that new arena,
that's
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna be making money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
But you, I won't be able to afford to go to a damn game unless we're literally willing to sell our children, our parents,
basically,
half
the
gene pool, and then go rob a bank.
Yep.
I'm gonna find your dog, Chandler, and kidnap her because I want to go to a Dove game.
Does this rule prove that championships breed insanity?
No, it proves that we are in the corporate culture, which is America. Mm-hmm. Everything is about capitalism and making money.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Knicks.
Yep.
This moron, Dolan, and his family, they made $1.5 billion last year. They're worth $4 billion. They'd be getting a tax break that Ed Koch gave them, 35, 40 years ago, not when they were the owners, but the previous owner, which, you know, is why we call them the tax write-offs. That thing brings them back $50 million.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That the city doesn't see in the state.
Yep. Yep. And you know what, Matt? I don't listen to his show because I think Michael Kay is a dumbass. But
right.
Dolan was on a Michael Kay show today, and somebody was speaking about it. One of the things apparently that Michael Kay said to him was, the Knicks are a public trust. Don't you owe the fans something? Dolan's response was, I don't owe the fans anything. I have a responsibility to this.
Right. To his, he said that before in the previous time he was interviewed. He said his family and other people, he says he's beholden to the board.
Right.
We got a call with the hand up.
I see. I'm going to bring him in right now. All right. All right. The last four digits is 6294. Welcome to the paint.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself and where you're calling from. Excuse me.
Thank you. This is Lou from New Jersey. I've been trying to get on the show for quite a while. I've heard about the show for months, but I haven't been able to get through. Anyway, you know, I don't know if it was right for Dolan to ban that fan for life from the Garden. I mean, he was just making his opinion about, you know, Dolan trying to sell the team. I think Dolan should sell the team. I mean, because since he's been, you know, owner, they've only made, you know, like a very few playoff appearances. They've only won one division title. Other than that, they've been a sewer. So maybe it would be the smart thing if he did sell it.
Well,
right.
I'm going to let Chandler answer that one because
that would just be
we just talked about this the other night, so I'm going to give him a chance to answer that one and tell you why he can't be the one to sell him. But go ahead, Chandler. James Dolan cannot sell the team because James Dolan doesn't own the team. The Dolan family The Dolan family owns the team. Not he runs the team. He doesn't own it singularly. His brother has shares. His sister has shares. The father has shares. The uncle has shares. There's a board of directors.
And they have a board.
That's right.
He's
so
into
he
that
literally.
Board.
That's right. He literally can't sell the team, and I wish more Knicks fans would pay attention to that. It's not about James Dolan. It's the Dolan family. He's just the mouthpiece. Everything that he does is directed by the family. They have been doing it for decades. They've been doing it for decades. That is why, like, they don't let the Daily News reporters really any access. And this goes back to the late Dick Young, who used to regularly kill the father who owned the team at the time before he let the son run it. He would kill the father regularly in his articles. So for like almost 30 years, they denied access to Daily News reporters. That's why, if you ever notice, Daily News basketball writers are always killing the Knicks. That's
right.
Why.
I noticed that.
That's why they're always changing.
Why. Yes, that's why.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's up to the family whether they want to sell or not, just him by himself.
Right.
I know,
right.
but fans, you know, have been disarray for a long time. And, you know, they're all like, they want Dolan's head on a platter. But, unfortunately, from what you have mentioned to me, that, we just can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Nope, that family is never going to let that cash cow go, bro. That's a cash cow for them. They've never.
I mean, they are the NBA's most valuable team, despite the fact they haven't done anything since, 1999 B.C.? I'm being sarcastic, of course.
You know, Chandler, Dick Young did the same thing to the New York Mets back in the days, too.
Dick Young took over when? I was only born around since 1970. So was that before or after I was born?
Oh, you were younger. You're young.
That was it was after you was born.
Come on.
It was after you was born because the Pacers. He did it with the Pacers.
And Tom Seaver, he disrespected the Pacers and Tom Seaver's wife at a function. At a function. It had nothing to do with the Mets. It was a charity function that Tom Seaver and his wife was into. And because of that incident was one of the reasons why Seaver signed off for the trade to Cincinnati.
You heard about what happened with Seaver, though, right?
Yes.
Sad.
Yes.
Yes.
Sad.
It is.
It is very sad. Dementia is real.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no joke.
No, not at all.
My recent mother-in-law had that. That's real.
My grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Like I said, that's my worst fear in life, is to be trapped inside my own mind. That's literally my worst fear.
I might have instructions on my, if I get to that point, just put a bullet in my head and just let me go, because I don't want to.
I get it.
Yeah, one of my exes, her father died of that.
That's
a horrible thing to go through.
Exactly.
I mean, this was Tom Terrific, with his Mets, even though I'm not a Mets fan, but I will admire what he's done.
For sure.
Right,
you have to.
Yeah.
I have to like it, but I respect it.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about, respect.
Because I'm a diehard Yankee fan, and, I never was for the Mets.
Right. Well, I want to swing the conversation back to the Knicks real quick, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I want to make a statement or two. The thing that's funny is that they make so much money off this team, off the New York Knicks. But who's giving them the money? It's the fans, right?
The fans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You would think. You would think that shit, give me at least half of them that would have common sense and intelligence to not support this team whatsoever.
No.
Okay.
No.
Hold on, Matt.
All right.
I'm just saying, you would think that they, I know you're passionate about that too. I get it. You would think that at least half of them would have the common sense and the intelligence not to support this team in any way, especially financially. But yet they go out there and they're buying hats, they're buying T-shirts, they're buying coffee mugs, they're subscribed to Cablevision and the whole watching the MSG contribute to the ratings and all the other things I'm forgetting, ticket sales, all that stuff.
Merchandising.
Merchandising. Mm-hmm. If you cut half of the merchandising that this team makes, I guarantee you see a change in their philosophy on putting a goddamn competitive team out there every year. I guarantee you. But
if they get Williamson from Duke, is that going to turn things around?
No, that'll
nope.
add to it.
Yeah.
More people will come.
See, my thing is this. When are you going to realize that this team just doesn't want to win? Because there's no premium on winning with this Dolan family. The premium is on making the dollar, making the money. That's what's first and foremost for them. You think they care about – they don't give a shit about fans.
They should.
They should, but they don't, because they would put out a winning, competitive product. You understand?
Well,
who wants to come and see you?
Hmm? You know, Rodney, that just makes too much sense.
I'm just saying.
And I agree with you 100%. That is the difference between the Dolan family and the Stein brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the marriage.
It's the difference.
Yeah. And you guys want to know the perfect example to illustrate your point, is Golden State. Golden State started trying to win. Why? Because they needed to make money. Now that they're making money hand over fist, they're going to move to a new arena. They're going to price out their fans, which effectively takes away their home court advantage. That team will never be as good as it is once they move to that new arena, but it won't matter. Why? because they have an established fan base now that will support them for the next 20 years.
Yep.
They're good now. So they don't have to
yeah.
they don't have to keep trying to win. They're good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey,
there
but Chandler,
and you're right.
The article I read, Klay Thompson said he was upset that the fans are listless now and that, you know, because the fans know they're leaving and the fans that are still going to Golden State games.
No, it's only across
that,
the river.
Hold on,
like
hold on, let me finish. They know that the prices are going to be jacked up, that the blue-collar man can't go to a game. And what are they going to do if he leaves? If he leaves, if Durant leaves? You know, you might keep Cousins, you might keep Curry, and you might keep Draymond. But what if he
yeah.
leaves? What if Curry leaves because he's upset with Draymond and his foolishness?
Yeah, you'll still have a competitive team, and you're going to sell
right.
out every night.
Right.
So you're still making money, right?
Right. Is Klay expendable?
What, financially, in the big picture, yes, he is.
Well, not even financially,
we
just that.
From a basketball standpoint, no, he's not. From a big picture
right.
standpoint of profits and loss, he absolutely is. Because now that we have the new arena, I don't really need you anymore. I don't have to win any more championships for the next 10 years.
Right, right, right. Because we already won, and there's the anticipation that we'll keep winning.
Right,
Steph Curry is not expendable. You need to keep him there.
Right.
You
right.
need to let him ride out till his career ends.
Yep.
Draymond
mm-hmm.
Green is possible. He's expendable.
yeah, with all his
but who else wants him?
What was that?
Yeah.
Who else wants him?
Mm. Oh,
that's the
team
thing, yeah.
I guarantee if he becomes
team
available, the Knicks. The delusional Knicks fans want Draymond Green. They'll be, oh, we're getting Draymond Green.
No, they want Durant.
Draymond Green is a player that teams would want. He's just not your franchise player, though. But you would,
no, right.
you would
but
think
get,
he is.
He's going to get paid
certain.
Like one. He's going to get paid like one, though.
He'll get paid like one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
There's no
get a max contract
that.
From somebody. Somebody giving him a max contract. We all know that.
Listen, Harrison Barnes got $148 million. Draymond
exactly.
should get more than that. And that's no
yep.
disrespect to Draymond not being a franchise player, but he's worth more than Harrison Barnes.
Exactly.
Yep. Definitely.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
So, yeah, it's mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of these teams are looking at the Knicks business model and saying, hey, that business model works. We get a couple
right.
of championships and we live off them as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Listen, the Celtics were bad for how many years were the Celtics bad? And all people kept talking about was Red Auerbach. Red Auerbach. Man, Red Auerbach had been gone 15 years. They were still talking about Red Auerbach. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're talking
and
about
then,
Red Auerbach because Red Auerbach set the standard.
I get it, but what I'm saying is the team, the organization lived off of that. So they could
right.
they could be bad. People were still coming. Fans were still coming. Because, well, Red, you know, this is Red all back, and it's the Celtics, and we're going to get better one day. I mean, like I said,
right,
they've been
did.
Living off the 73 championship for 40 years, man.
Right.
So look at these, as Mark Cunningham says, the tax write-offs.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be 100 before they win another championship.
And Dolan and his
yeah.
family couldn't care less that you lived
right.
to 100 years and didn't see. Well, you,
I
you
was thinking the same thing, sir.
Like, you did see them. You did see them win in 73, right? Because you're
yes,
a certain man of age. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah,
so you got your one. They did what they were supposed to do for you. You got your
yeah.
one.
Yeah, well they got the 69 and they got the 73, and they had that nice run, from 90 to. I'm going to give them a couple years, 99 when they played the Spurs last. So
yeah.
That team is living off that also. So I mean,
Don't forget 94.
See, I was a little kid in 73, so I really don't. I remember it vaguely, but I couldn't accept. I couldn't revel in it like the dunk that Starks got on Jordan, and well, not on Jordan, on Horace Grant. Excuse me,
Horace Grant.
But
Jordan was in the picture.
Oh, he was in the picture. It wasn't on him per se, though. But I got to revel in that moment. I didn't. I got to be mad with the finger roll.
Oh. Oh.
But
please don't turn my stomach.
I can't. I haven't, as an adult, been able to go to the parade. I want to go to the parade. I want to fly my blue and orange because y'all know those are my favorite colors. R just left, family. Yeah. All right.
But I mean, yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just it. The thing with fans is that we know all of this, but the reality is that there are some teams that we just love.
Right.
Period in the story. Period in the story.
Yeah.
If James Dolan to walk up, punch me in the face, and I still come on here and talk about the damn Knicks. Okay. Listen, like I told y'all last night, I swore off the Knicks the day they traded Clyde Frazier. That was 30 years ago. I swore up and down that
day
I would never watch another Knicks game. Okay? It's 30 years later. I'm still watching Knicks games. Okay? When, you understand what I'm saying? So, we know this, but we don't want to know it, is the thing. And because of the attachments that we formed as children with these teams, but the difference, I think, with these new fans is they're not fans of teams anymore. They're fans of players.
Yep.
So I think a lot of these leagues, as these fans get older, there's going to be a huge drop-off in the fan reaction, the fan sentiment, the fan money coming in because, okay, my guy retired. I'm good now. You know, my guy's retired. I'm not following y'all anymore.
You know, Chandler, I like that statement, fans of players, but I think it's more or less their bandwagon fans.
Yes.
Bandwagon fans.
Yeah, especially on Twitter.
Like, when, you know, I'm a bit older than most, and I listen to guys talk about, oh, I hate to bring this up, but it's the only way I could substantiate the story. Quarterbacks. I mean, all these guys, all they know is Tom Brady. It sickens me. It sickens me.
Well,
I mean, you know, I've been in the group. I don't think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Not in my book. You talk about getting upset when your team's players were traded. I was upset with when the Mets traded Tom Seaver. I was upset with the New York Rangers traded Brad Park and Vic Hadfield. I was upset when the Knicks traded Clyde Frazier.
Knicks got a couple of players I was upset that they traded. Clyde, Mark Jackson.
Yeah, I was upset. I was livid when the New York Knicks traded that clown Roy Bowe sold Julius Erving like a runaway slave.
Yeah.
Nah, he had no choice in that. No, he didn't.
He could have said, I'm not selling my best player. That's a choice he didn't make.
No, the Nets were broke, and he needed money to get the entry fee to get into the NBA. He had to sell an asset. That biggest asset was Dr. J. What?
Disband the team.
Well, you can say that.
It's at $3 million. That's why they had to do it.
Richard, he didn't sell him like a slave. Richard, you could say that, but you weren't an owner. You ain't looking at his books. And also, they managed to once they got into the NBA, he made some money. But then he sold them. He sold them eventually.
Oh my god.
What's wrong? You all right?
Yeah, I'm still out of pain. I got to mute for a minute. I just got to mute.
Okay. Y'all both sounding like Darth Vader over here. Chandler sounding
like
Darth Vader.
Yeah, let us know what's going on. Yeah, because that doesn't sound too good.
Richard sounding like Darth Vader with the cold.
No, I'm just in a lot of pain right now and trying to make it stop. And I can't, so...
No, understood, bro. I hope you feel better. The Golden State Warriors, I'm not really feeling the move they make, but I understand it's about the money. It's about the Benjamins.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it
but
is
like
what it
saying,
is, unfortunate.
Well, Southern California.
Is that you talking, Lou, or is that you, Richard?
I mean,
you faded in and out,
you know, other side across the bay, not like it's, you know, halfway across the country.
Yeah, but the difference, Lou, is that by going across the bay, they literally priced out all of the fans from Oakland. Those fans aren't going to be able to afford to go to the game. They can't afford the games, first of all. And also, again, a lot of those fans, they were getting there by public transportation. If you remove public transportation, that's a lot of the fan base. It's a lot of the fan base.
Right.
Yeah, because if the BART line don't go out to that new stadium, the average fan's not going to be able to go out there. See, where Oracle Arena sits, it's right on the line. So that's where they can get out there pretty easy.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
Sort of like the way Yankee Stadium is adjacent to the 4 train and a major highway.
Right.
Sort of like City Field is right next to a train station by a major highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you got fans from Connecticut that go to Yankee games on a regular basis because all they got to do is jump on Metro North, take Metro North into Penn Station, jump on the train, boom, bang, boom, they're at the stadium. Now, if you put Yankee Stadium somewhere where they can't get to it, do you really think people driving 3 hours on 95? Just
hell
to get
no.
into the city. Just to, now
well.
That's just to get into the city. That's not even trying to get to the stadium. You add another 2 hours to get to the damn stadium. Okay?
Right. Right. That's
no,
like,
don't forget, in Connecticut, there's also Red Sox fans, too.
Huh?
In Connecticut, there's also some Red Sox fans.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, baseball fans go to games regardless. Baseball fans,
yeah.
I mean, when I lived in Detroit, I wasn't a Tiger fan. I went to damn Tiger games because I love baseball. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
When I lived in California, I went to Padre games because I love baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So by having your stadium accessible to public transportation, especially if you're in a tri-state area, you are bringing in more money. By them having that arena on the BART, they brought in a lot more money or brought in a lot more regular people. By where it's going to be now, only the rich people are going to go.
Right.
And that's a whole different animal.
The BART does go into San Francisco, right?
It does, but it's kind of a pain in the ass to get, unless they've changed the route. This is when I was there. I have to look at a map to find out or ask my friends that I've got guys that I serve with that go to Warriors games and find out some more information. So I have to get back with you all on that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in, we went to, was it Alameda? It was the air station out there, and then we took the BART,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we wanted to go to Fisherman's Wharf and everything. We took the BART, but it
mm-hmm.
wasn't like a boom, bang, boom type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Even once we got the BART, we still had a little trek to get to Fisherman's Wharf. So if this thing is like way into Frisco, then yeah, I don't think the BART's not going where they have the arena. It's basically
right.
the thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not really accessible by public transportation, not easily. You know what I'm saying? And again, once you start putting all kinds of, I got to jump through 17 hoops to get there, man, I'm not going. And I got to spend a mortgage. Come on, I'm not going.
Right. Like sort of what you said about Atlanta moving from where they were, the Atlanta Braves. I'm curious about Milwaukee. They didn't build they're building their arena.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because I've been to Milwaukee like once. Is it going to be downtown Milwaukee? Is it going to be accessible, the new arena?
Well, their public transportation system ain't that great anyway. So
right.
I think no matter where they put it, people are going to have to drive. But I think it is going to be in the downtown area because I think they want to try to bring some business to downtown. But,
right.
And I lived in the Upper Peninsula, so I was literally 20 minutes from Wisconsin. I was 3 hours from Milwaukee. So they'll still get fans coming from Chicago and Michigan and places
right.
like that, you know, for the game. So I think
right.
where they're putting it is still in a decent spot.
Okay, because when Dom lives in Chicago, Dom goes to he goes to a couple of Milwaukee games a year. He might be going more often if he stays in Chicago because the Bulls suck and Milwaukee's a better team.
Yeah.
Me and my cousin used to go to Net games all the time, and we would go to the Net game, buy reasonably priced tickets, and by the end of the game, by halftime, we'd be sitting behind the bench because nobody used to go to Net games, even when they were good.
Right.
Like, I mean, when they had their championship run, we would go to Net games.
Mm-hmm.
And that arena still didn't get filled, even
right.
with them being real good. Go ahead, Chandler.
Right. For Barclays, because of where it's located, I think is why they're able to get more of a fan base. That's why I never understood why the Islanders claimed that they couldn't have a fan base. What it was is they didn't have the right complexion fan base. Because where Barclays is, it's all kind of public transportation to take you right there. It's really accessible by public transportation.
The Islanders, the stadium is, like I said last night, not really great for basketball, and it definitely wasn't good for hockey.
I heard it was a dump where they played.
It it's the way they built this. Whoever designed it is a moron. Whoever designed the inside is a moron. And it is accessible. It's right next to two bridges that lead into the city. There's a major highway that leads into Queens. The Long Island Railroad is right there. It would have been perfect for the Islanders because all those fans that lived on the island, you just jump on the railroad and come to Brooklyn.
Yep.
But they sort of goofed in the way they built it.
Yeah.
They are playing in the Barclays Center now, aren't they, the Islanders?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're getting ready to move. Yeah, they're getting ready to move. They're going to build a stadium by the Belmont Racetrack, which is not too far from where I live.
Right.
Which it's it.
Oh, you live near
better.
Belmont?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Maybe 10 minutes drive-wise, 15 minutes. So if they do that, there's a railroad stop there. Near
Watch
a major highway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major highway there, so that would be a good spot for the Islanders. Even though their old arena is rebuilt, but it's now built for concerts.
Yeah, and it's still a dump, by the way.
That's
true.
Oh, okay.
I was there once.
Leave the Nassau Coliseum alone.
That place is, you know, the worst thing that happened, though, is when you go to Nassau Coliseum and you see all of those businesses that are